Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and I hope you are here because you've enjoyed the shows you've heard before. And if this is your first time, we welcome you and hope you will make it back again. We try to have interesting topics and interesting guests, and I think today we're going to hit it out of the ballpark because our topic for today is Memorial Day. This being Memorial Day weekend, we wanted to take the opportunity to honor some of the greatest men that America has ever had, and those are the ones that serve and put it all on the line and sacrifice everything for this great country that we have. And they don't get enough respect, they don't get enough appreciation or recognition, so we're going to do our part today to try to recognize two of our heroes. And actually, we have more than two vets here. Our regular, Pete Benton,
thank you,
is also a vet, and I'm allow him to pretty much take over the show here in a few minutes. We have Bob Griswold.
Hello.
Mary, his wife, which
Hello.
Is Right Wing Granny at rightwinggranny.com. She's a conservative. We have Doug Gould.
Hi.
Nice to have you with us again, Doug. And Pete, go ahead and introduce your guest tonight.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great privilege and honor the men and women who've given, in the words of Abraham Lincoln, the last full measure of devotion for God and country. And having been a veteran for over 33 years, it was a great privilege to serve this nation. And I thank God each and every day that I'm an American and I can worship God as I see fit. We have two very special guests tonight is Colonel Walter Joseph Marm, Joe Marm, who's a Congressional Medal of Honor recipient from Vietnam, Chief One Officer 5, Mike Carr. Joe, welcome.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Mike?
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Thank you so much. And Joe was kind enough to come down from Fremont. And as we said, Rick Hopkins is an Army veteran. Bob Griswold is a Navy veteran. Joe is an Army veteran. Mike's a Marine veteran. And Doug is a Navy veteran. And I'm a Navy and an Air Force veteran. So tonight, we wish to pay tribute to the men and women who have served this nation and kept the red, white, and blue flying high over the land of the free and the home of the brave. And I'd like to start briefly. Some of you may or may not know, I had the great privilege. I was the deputy commander of the Presidential Honor Guard for Ronald Reagan and George Bush. And it was a blessing beyond measure, and I feel so unworthy. But I thank God each and every day that I had the privilege to serve under those gentlemen, because they both, too, were World War II veterans. And I'm thinking about what I'd like to share tonight is Ronald Reagan's greatest speech on October 27th of 1964. He addressed the Republican National Convention when he stumped for Barry Goldwater, and he said, "A time for choosing." It's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms intended for us by our founding fathers. James Madison once said, "We based our experiments on the capacity of mankind for self-government. The idea that government was beholden to the people, that it had no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest, most unique idea in the long history of man's relation to man. For almost two centuries, we have proved man's capacity for self-government. But today, we're told we must choose between a right or left, or as others suggest, a third alternative, a kind of a safe middle ground. I suggest to you there is no left or right, only an up or down. Up to the maximum of individual freedom consistent with law and order, or down to the ant heap of totalitarianism, and regardless of their humanitarian purpose, those who would sacrifice freedom for security have, whether they know it or not, chosen this downward path. Plutarch, the great philosopher, once said, "The real destroyer of the liberties of people is he who spreads among them bounties, donations, and benefits." Ronald Reagan said, "There are no easy answers, but there are simple answers. We must have the courage to do what we know is morally right. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny." We will preserve our children this last best hope of man on earth, or we will sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. For this, my fellow Americans, is the challenge we face today. Joe, I'd like to start with you. You're originally from Western Pennsylvania.
That's correct. A little town called Washington, Pennsylvania, 30 miles southwest of Pittsburgh.
Yes, sir. A Pittsburgh Steelers fan?
Yes, sir.
Do you recall a guy who, number 54, who played for the Steelers, late 70s, early 80s, Zach Valentine, was most valuable player on your Super Bowl championship team?
I don't recall that name.
I played football with him at East Carolina. I was a quarterback. He was a defensive end.
Wow, so that's special.
A lot of fond memories. Tell me a little bit, Joe, if you will, about your background and about your military service and your faith, most of all.
I went in the Army right after college. I went to a Christian college, Duquesne University in Pittsburgh. And I spent 30 years and 10 months in the Army. I was an infantry officer and served all over the world. Two tours in Vietnam, a tour in Hawaii, which was very nice. Spent some time in, a lot of time in North, in Virginia, correction, Georgia, as a an instructor and a battalion commander of a training battalion, and a lot of time up in Pennsylvania working with the Army Reserves.
Yes, sir. Tell us a little bit about your tours in Vietnam, Joe.
I deployed with the 1st Cav Division, which was a great unit. We took 400 helicopters and about 15,000 soldiers over to Vietnam in August of 65. It took us a month to get over there, going through the Panama Canal up through the over to the Pacific. To the Pacific, we went through a typhoon, and we were on a merchant marine ship called the USS Maurice Rose, and we would do calisthenics and train our troops, and we would shoot off of the rear deck with some pallets that we put out there on hooked up to cables, and so we were able to keep our training in good gear, in good shape. I was in the first big battle of the Vietnam War called the Battle of Ai Drang. It was made into a movie called We Were Soldiers. And it was based on a book called We Were Soldiers Once and Young. It was a very intense three-day battle on the 14th, 15th, and 16th of November, 1965. We were outnumbered about 7-1. We didn't know it at the time, but we had a lot of assets. We had a lot of assets to help us out. We had, with our helicopters, we could bring in reinforcements, and which we did. Plus, we had all the services providing close air support, and even a B-52 strike on the second day on the side of the mountain to try to eliminate the enemy. So we were, it's a very tough battle, but they made, the book was published in We Were Soldiers Once and Young in 1992. 10 years later, Mel Gibson and Sam Elliott made a movie about it called We Were Soldiers. They had to cut it down to fit on the marquee to We Were Soldiers. One funny little anecdote, one of the commanders wanted to take his troops in the training, gave him the Army mascot, which is a mule. He wanted to take the mule with him to Vietnam. He put the mule on a helicopter, on the aircraft carrier.
Oh dear.
And when they got into country, the general said, "I don't want that mule on my helicopter," figuring the mule would freak out and ruin the helicopter. So he slung loaded the mule under his command helicopter, his Huey, and took it up to our base camp. So that's very unique. He also started wearing, we were in baseball caps, and he started the troops wearing Army, they're called Stetsons, a black cavalry hat. And the general said, "I don't want you, Stetsons, put the baseball cap on. That's what's authorized." So he went back and talked to his men and came back and talked to the general again and said, "Sir, can we wear the Stetsons for ceremonial occasions?" The general thought about it for a while and he says, "Okay, you can wear the Stetson for ceremonial occasions." It turned out everything was a ceremonial occasion. So they never took it off.
Oh, my goodness. There's a funny story. I was stationed at Pope Air Force Base before I went to Washington, D.C. There is a story that I was told by the Special Forces there. I had some friends. Do you anyone know the idea how the Green Beret came about? Tell them the story, Joe.
No, you tell them. You're better than I.
Great story. There at Fort Bragg, it was an Army colonel, and they had the Special Forces. They had the 3rd, 5th, and 7th groups, and I think the 20th Reserve Special Forces there. I used to do some sport parachuting with the Special Forces guys. Great people, okay? This Army colonel came up with the idea when John Kennedy, President Kennedy, flew into Fort Bragg there to visit the troops. He took all of his Special Forces guys and put them in a Green Beret that wasn't at the time, if I understand, was not authorized. Okay, President Kennedy came through, and when he was greeting the troops, he was shaking the hands and made the comment, "I really like those Green Berets." Well, the Army said, "Yes, sir, Mr. President, they'll have them." That's a pretty extraordinary story. The Green Berets are extraordinary people. Matter of fact, here, I'm looking at the 4th of July. I'm going to bring in a dear friend. He's a West Point grad. His name is Phil Edwards. He's Special Forces Green Beret, and he's got some pretty interesting stories. But Mike Carr, CWO4, U.S. Marine Corps, Semper Fidelis. And you were a sniper in the Corps, and you spent some time, what we call, in the sandbox over in Afghanistan and Iraq. Can you share some stories, please?
Sure. So at that point in my career, I was already out from being a sniper. All my sniper time was kind of before that. So my time in Iraq, I was a logistics from my battalion, I guess, is what it is. So I was kind of doing that while we were fighting in Fallujah. And then the next time I was in Iraq, I was the battalion gunner. In the Marine Corps, a gunner is an infantry, or for me, it was an infantry weapons officer is really what I was. And so I was the advising my battalion commander on the use and employment, among other things, of all the infantry weapons. So we're just kind of out and about doing different things depending on the day. I mean, we've had a wide variety of different things. I was out on patrol, looking for a vehicle-borne IED, so a dump truck-sized thing, and it was 155 degrees out with all your gear on. That was a not so pleasant experience. That's why I have heat injuries. I've had heat. That was a day of some serious heat injury. And so I have issues with heat now, but
there's a funny story. Is that you know what U.S. Marines call U.S. sailors?
Uber.
Seagoing bellhops.
Well, Pete, I'm going to take an opportunity to take a break here to hear from our sponsors. Folks, don't go away. There's some more interesting stories coming up right after these messages.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion. and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, again, we are celebrating Memorial Day, remembering those that have served their country and served with everything they've got. And we're trying to show our appreciation, and we hope you are too. You know, if you go out and you see a vet wearing a hat or whatever, please make sure you go up and thank them for their service. I try to make a habit of that. And, you know, if you can afford it, go ahead and pay for their meal, because it's they paid a lot for you, and it's time we start paying them back. All right, Pete, what's next?
Thank you very much, Rick. I'd like to quote one of my favorite biblical verses from the Gospel of John 15:13. For greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And I think that's a common theme for each one of us that has ever served in the U.S. military. And I'm going to go back a little bit. I started in the Navy. I originally was going to go to, I had a congressional nomination to the U.S. Naval Academy from Congressman Walter B. Jones Sr., Walter's daddy. And I wound up going into the Navy right at the end of Vietnam. And I came back to school and did my undergrad and graduate studies and joined the Air Force. And my first major operational assignment, I was assigned as the deputy commander of the U.S. Air Force Presidential Honor Guard for Ronald Reagan and George Bush. And I have to say, of all the ceremonies that we did in Washington, D.C., the one that touched my heart the most and brought sadness and tears to my heart was at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier on Memorial Day. And that's why Rick and Joe and I and Mike and Doug and Bob have talked about this. It's very, very important to remember the sacrifices of the men and women. Ronald Reagan once said that democracy is one generation away from extinction. It is not passed through the bloodlines. It's something that must be fought for. And another beautiful quote, all gave some and some gave all. Probably every one of us sitting here at this table has lost a brother or a sister in combat. You don't ever forget it. The scars are always there. The memories are always there. And you just pray that one day that you'll be reunited in heaven with them. When I was in the Honor Guard, I had the chance. I was there when they dedicated the Vietnam Wall. 58,864 names sit upon that wall. And matter of fact, what was interesting is that Ted Koppel was the guest speaker. He was an Army gunner in Vietnam, I think on Hueys. Okay, he did a wonderful job. But they call it the wall that heals. We must always remember the sacrifices of the men and women who served our country. And I have to say that having served under Ronald Reagan and George Bush was a blessing beyond measure. I had the chance to serve with all the Presidential Honor Guards. The Honor Guard members, it's a special duty assignment. You're the top 1% of your military branch. And you fall under the exclusive authority of what's called the Military District of Washington. So whenever you go to Washington, I encourage people, go there and see the Honor Guards perform at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier on Memorial Day, Veterans Day, with Secretary Weinberger. Go and watch the military bands. They perform all over. Joe's been to countless ceremonies where they, and it's just so patriotic, and especially the 4th of July. And those are some of my fondest memories. And I recall one particular ceremony. We always did White House arrivals. Now, the Army is senior service. Army, Marines, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard. That's how we line up at the White House. But it was June 1987. It was a presidential arrival ceremony welcoming with President Reagan, President Duarte. And, you know, we have certain specific procedures that we do in honoring. There's a 21-gun salute. There's the Hail to the Chief. There's the national anthems of El Salvador and also the American national anthem. Something happened on that day I'll never forget, and it was very emotional for Ronald Reagan. And I recall those ceremonies, they started at 10 o'clock on Tuesday mornings on the lawn at the White House. We were lined up about an hour prior. President Duarte came up, the Reagans greeted him, they came up, they played the national anthems, 21-gun salute. Then they do a thing called trooping the line. Every one of us has stood in formation on hot days and standing at attention. And as President Reagan and President Duarte came by, they inspected all the honor guard commanders and all the troops. President Duarte and President Reagan went back up on the stage, and something happened I had never seen in my military career that was really touching. President Duarte stepped down from the stage, completely out of protocol sequence, walked over to the American flag, the color team, and we're all standing there. What is he doing? He saluted the American flag, and he bent over and he kissed the American flag.
Wow.
Stood back and saluted. And as he walked back up to the stage, President Reagan was crying. Those are the days you never, ever forget. A head of state paying that kind of tribute, you know, to the United States of America. And I've always said that next to the nation of Israel, God's crowning achievement is the United States of America and the republic for which it stands.
Absolutely. You know, I find it interesting also, and you can find these videos on YouTube at Arlington National Cemetery, the honor guard, the way they handle the visitors that step out of line, that don't follow the rules. There's some pretty interesting moments in that also.
Yeah. Joe, did you ever have the chance to go down underneath the sarcophagus there and down below where the Army Honor Guard is, the 3rd U.S. Infantry? Did you ever go down below?
It's been a while ago, but I have, yes.
Do you recall when you first walked down below where the Army Honor Guard, 3rd U.S. Infantry tomb guards are, what was up on the wall? You remember?
A Medal of Honor.
Artie Murphy. There's a complete wall of honor to Artie Murphy, and he's buried in front of the amphitheater.
I was at his burial.
Whoa, my goodness.
Yeah, Artie Murphy is one of the highest decorated World War II recipients, and he played in his own movie. To Hell and Back.
Yep.
Do you recall what was the last line in his book, To Hell and Back?
No.
I only wanted to live again.
Wow.
4.5+ years there. And like Joe said, those highly decorated. The Medal of Honor, the French Croix de Guerre, and all these, the Belgium, and he just incredible. 5'6", 5'7", 130 pounds from Texas.
Yep. I'd like to take a moment to speak to the young folks out there, if
sure.
we have any listening, and to your parents. If you have kids, teenagers, that have not seen those movies, you need to set them down and let them watch what things were really like. Not the history they're being taught in school today, but what it was really like. And Audie Murphy, that's an outstanding movie about the heroism that you just won't see too many times in your lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, though, Rick, and when you mentioned the heroism, he didn't start out to be a hero.
No.
Yeah.
He started out to survive. And he was put in situations that, you know, you're going to panic, but guess what? I've got to get through it, and I've got to help everybody around me, too. You're there to survive.
Yeah, amen. Let's start. Doug, you served in the U.S. Navy on the USS Mount Whitney for the 3-star, and you were an electronics warfare specialist, cybersecurity. Tell us about your experiences.
Well, I've had a great many experiences in the service and after. I think the most striking thing that I want to share with people are some of the aspects that are not well known. I had a friend who was one of the 52 hostages in Iran. I had another friend who was in SEAL Team 6. He has since passed away, but he and his team were extracting from an operation. They were swimming out to meet a submarine, and the enemy had showed up on the shore and started firing. Part of the team made it back to the sub, and a couple of the team got hit, and he swam back out and brought them back in and took 2 bullets in the back in the process of bringing them back in, but still kept going. And all the time I knew him, he never spoke about that publicly. This guy was a natural-born hero and really the kind of person that we should all be thankful for. And you would see him in a bar or in a restaurant, and you would never know. So the next time you see a veteran, remember that there are a lot of people who made a lot of sacrifices, and you never know. The person you think might be somebody like Joe, Congressional Medal of Honor recipient.
And not just the veterans' families, because a lot of people overlook the sacrifice that they make. Unless you've been in those shoes where you have a loved one serving in a war zone and you're back here trying to take care of the family and keep things going. We're very fortunate nowadays. When my son was in Afghanistan, we could FaceTime anytime. Sure. You know, they had Wi-Fi right there in the camp. And that was a lot of relief in being able to communicate like that. But you look at the First World War and the Second World War and all those other conflicts, they could go months and hear nothing.
Yeah.
Now, that's a huge burden on a wife or a husband or children that are left at home while their loved one is serving in a war zone. So think about them also.
Bob was in the Navy during the war in Vietnam. And it took 2 weeks to get an idea out to the ship and back. If you had something going on, if a decision had to be made, you just had to either make it on the spot and hope for the best, or you had to wait to get that letter out to the ship and get that letter back from the ship.
Right.
And we used to do cassette tapes back and forth.
Yeah. Yep.
No. But it was, I mean, communication was very different. When my son-in-law was in Afghanistan, they were FaceTiming.
Yeah. Well,
it's
the youth
a very
today,
different world.
The youth today is so spoiled. They do not understand the way things were before video games and cell phones. It's something they need to be sat down in front of the TV.
Yes.
Cut off Netflix or whatever it is they're interested in. And put in some of these movies that show the historical, you know, Pearl Harbor.
Yes.
There's so many things that they could learn from just by sitting down and seeing these depictions of what really went on in those combat zones.
Bob, tell us about your service in the Navy.
I'd say mine was a relatively easy time. I was in two different anti-submarine warfare squadrons, aircraft squadrons. We were Vietnam era, but we were chasing submarines in the North Atlantic. And as much as I dislike saying it, I had, in a very, very simple 4 years, I had duty on 9 different aircraft carriers. And so we spent a lot of time at sea. I mean, so that was a, it's funny, Rick, as you said, you have a movie that will play and be over in an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever else. You're out at sea for a number of weeks. It's a little bit different, and especially back then, because you got to see the same movie 6 times over if there was a movie available.
But you had Bob Hope too.
But again, serving in the North Atlantic, sometimes, and I've heard it before, and I have been thanked for my service in the North Atlantic, and I don't care what your job was in the service. You're important. It takes like 8 people behind the infantrymen to support that infantryman. So you really, really need to thank everybody that's in there. I mean, right now we're in the Memorial Day. We're here to honor those that did not return. And we need to just remember that, you know, there's support troops behind them, but they gave the last measure.
Right. I'd like to straighten out the record there, Pete. When you introduced me, you said I was an Army vet, which was inaccurate. I was not in the military because when I tried to join, I didn't pass the medical. I had a hole in my eardrum, so they wouldn't accept me. They classified me 4F. So I worked 32 and a half years for the Department of Navy in civil service. And at the end of Vietnam, as the helicopters were coming back in here, and we were patching them up, they were full of bullet holes. Yeah. The first time I got on a CH-46, what amazed me, I said, man, this is like a beer can. I can push in on the skin of this aircraft and dimple it, you know. And now the pilots, they had the luxury of having steel plates under their seats. But the guys in the back, it's deceptive, folks. If you've never been on one of those aircraft, that's really thin aluminum skin there. And so that's why the troops were sitting on their helmets in the back of the aircraft. But there's a lot to learn about what they go through if you'll just take the time to learn it.
I just want to go back to something Bob said. When I first got, we were stationed at Quonset Point in Rhode Island. And within the first month of the time we were there, we were going to memorial services for pilots on the aircraft carriers who had crashed. And there was never a time, I mean, again, this was the wartime Navy, but he was not in the war, but there was never a time when that carrier went out that everybody came home. Right. It was, you know, you're dealing with aircraft, you're dealing with not always wonderful conditions, and, you know, it, again, they weren't at war, but it still wasn't safe.
Right. And it's not just a war. You're on a Navy carrier or ship out there in the middle of the ocean and typhoons, hurricanes. You
know. And trying to land an airplane on a postage stamp.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, we need to take another break to hear from our sponsors, so please stick with us. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show so far. And Joe, It's remarkable the recall that you have. I can't recall what I did last week. And you're talking, you know, giving dates and times and events that happened back in the 70s. That's remarkable. I congratulate you on having the faculties that you have. Pete, where next?
Absolutely. What I'd like to do is kind of do another round robin, if you will, and start with Joe. What was your greatest achievement and moment in your military career?
Well, that's a tough question. But what was my greatest achievement? Probably graduating from a basic and advanced individual training and completing the Ranger course, which is, to me, is a very, very tough 9 weeks, a very intense, hard training. You don't get much sleep, you don't eat very much, and having graduated or having completed the course was a plus. And you have to pass your patrols too. Usually you get four patrols. I was two up or one up and two down, and my last patrol I passed with the help of a dog. the dog helped us get through the friendly front lines. So without the dog, I might not have passed the Ranger course.
What's his name, Ren 10-10? Mike, what was your greatest achievement?
I think between graduating Scout Sniper School and then when I got selected to be a Marine gunner. At the time when I became a Marine gunner, there was only 54 or 56 in the Marine Corps. So being selected out of all the people that applied for it and getting selected for that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Doug, your greatest achievement?
Well, I think back on all the hours and days I spent in the Navy and spent afloat. And on submarines, the sailors are required to qualify on every operational system on a submarine. And they have to do that, I believe, within 3 months of joining the sub to get their little dolphin pins. Today, in the surface Navy, they have something similar called the Enlisted Surface Warfare Specialist, and a sailor has to qualify in every operating system on the ship in order to earn that. And I was the second one in the Atlantic Fleet to do that qualification. The pin did not exist at the time; it was part of the inspiration for the pin. But that's I think the achievement I'm most proud of.
That's wonderful. Bob?
You know, I'm going to go off in a totally different direction because I think I'm going to say a fun experience, but I had joined the second squadron that I was in, aircraft squadron, and I went over there and I my job was aviation maintenance administration, taking care of logbooks, taking care of dispatching for maintenance, taking care of, you know, understanding all of the systems in the aircraft. Is this aircraft ready to fly or whatever else? Well, I went and I checked all of the logbooks. And I found that every aircraft had something that was over the high time and even over the allowable 10% over. Whoa. And I say, it's a proud moment to go to your commanding officer and say, sir, I am grounding all of your aircraft. Okay. But I'm saving his butt.
Sure.
Okay. And yes, I mean, it was an exciting moment. However, as soon as you go into what's called cannibalization, you swap an engine or you swap a propeller or you do whatever else. And all of a sudden we've got 6 of the 10 aircraft back in the air, but we are not liable for an undiscovered incident. Mm-hmm. And so it's a proud moment. It sounds stupid that I could have just plain old ignored it, but I would have put somebody's life in danger.
How many lives did you save by doing that?
Uncalculable.
Wouldn't come up?
Absolutely. Yeah. I have to say my proudest achievement was serving Ronald Reagan. I absolutely loved him and adored him. We used to say in the Secret Service and the Honor Guard, sounds trite, but that's okay. We loved the man so much we'd have taken a bullet for him. And I have to say that serving Ronald Reagan was becoming a Christian, a man of God, serving Ronald Reagan and being close to him. He was a man of God, he was an American patriot, and he was a true statesman. But he truly cared about everyone. And he came from very humble backgrounds. He grew up in Tampico, Illinois, was born February the 11th, 1911, lived through the Depression, grew up of very modest means. But he always said that as a young boy, the greatest influence in his life was when his mother would sit him in her lap and read the Bible to him and his brother every night. He was shot March 30th, 1981, just a few months after his inaugural. And thanks to the Secret Service guys, Jerry Parr, who saved his life. He actually, Jerry, the four people were wounded. Ronald Reagan, Jim Brady was wounded the worst. He had a major head trauma. And then Tim McCarthy, Secret Service agent, then Officer Delahunty. But Ronald Reagan, they fought for his life. And the interesting thing is he was shot with a .22 by John Hinckley. What you don't realize initially, they couldn't, but he was spitting up blood, so they knew he had blood in his lungs. But they were looking, doing, you know, all kinds of tests on his abdominal cavity. They found out the bullet came in underneath his right armpit, ricocheted off his rib cage, and landed 1 inch from his coronary artery.
Oh, wow.
By the grace of God, Ronald Reagan lived. Yes, ma'am.
There is a book called Rawhide Down, which is a hour by hour, minute by minute, tell, you know, story of what happened that day. And when you go through that incident, you find out that there are three or four things that went on that day that saved his life. One of them was the head of the Secret Service, or one of the Secret Service agents, didn't like the way the cars were parked, and she made them repark the cars in case they wanted to get out quickly. They were on their way back to the White House when the secret agent noticed his color was going and yep. saw blood and said, no, we're going to the hospital. And there were three or four incidents where you felt like God intervened.
Oh, he did.
And saved that man's life.
Yeah.
And that was Jerry Parr, was a Secret Service agent, because he saw President Reagan coughing up blood. And he called ahead and he said, get the president to the medical center. Do you know where medical center Ronald Reagan went to? George Washington Medical Center. Mm-hmm. And they treated him. When he was taken to the hospital, you have 60 minutes to stabilize a patient. Okay, if you don't get him stable, you're going to lose him. And like you said, there is no doubt. Interesting fact, too, Jim Brady, by all countable standards, should not have lived. He should have died. The thoracic surgeon who operated on President Reagan, when he went in and he found the bullet close to his heart, said he was the fact that he was very healthy and a very strong man saved his life. And then by a miracle of God's hand, Jim Brady's, he had a major blood clot in his brain and was increasing pressure on his brain, and he was literally dying. Something happened and the blood clot broke and he started to improve. So wow. Absolutely, wow. God intervened to save that
yes.
man.
You know, related to that, the an ironic thing was also the Pope being shot soon after, that the Pope sure. and Ronald Reagan had a certain joint experience that really drew them close together.
Yeah. Bob, I want to go back to, you said you're responsible for making sure the aircraft were flight worthy. One of my jobs as an aircraft electrician at the time was validating all the wiring in the aircraft. Are any of you familiar with DIPMCO?
No.
No, never heard of DIPMCO. Well, I know you are aware that everything in the aircraft is connected through plugs and jacks, and there's hundreds to thousands of them throughout the aircraft, some of them almost impossible to get to. But what we would do as we rewired or updated the wiring harnesses and all, we had to check every wire in that aircraft. And the way you do it is with a DIPMCO machine. It's on a big dolly that's almost two stories high and half the length of the aircraft, and just thousands of wires hanging off of it with the connectors on it. You roll that out to the aircraft, and you have to hook it up to each and every plug, and then it runs resistance checks, high voltage checks, leakage checks, all that stuff. But the interesting part, and why I'm telling you this, DIPMCO, DITMCO. Drive-In Theater Machine Company. The guy that invented it owned a drive-in theater, and they were stealing his speakers, so he came up with this device to measure the resistance on the speaker wires going out on his property there, and he could tell if the speaker was missing or not. And he eventually got a contract. It got bigger and bigger, and that's what they were using to validate wiring in all the aircraft.
Thank you, Rick, for sharing that story. On behalf of Joe, Mike, Doug, myself, Rick, and Bob, and Mary, I want to take this moment here to share one of the most beautiful poems I've ever read, and it bespeaks volumes of the virtue, of the sacrifices, and the love, and the greatness of every veteran who's ever served this country. And it's called Daddy, What is a Vet? It's by Father Dennis Edmund O'Brien. And this is dedicated to every man and woman who has served this great country for the last 245 years. Some veterans bear the visible signs of their service, a missing limb, a jagged scar, a certain look in the eye. Others may carry the evidence inside of them, a pen holding a bone together, a piece of shrapnel in the leg, or perhaps another sort of inner steel, the soul's ally forged in a refinery of adversity. Except in parades, however, the men and women who've kept America safe wear no badge or emblem. You can't tell a vet just by looking. He's a cop on the beat who spent 6 months in Saudi Arabia sweating 2 gallons a day making sure armored personnel carriers didn't run out of fuel. He's the barroom loudmouth, dumber than 5 wooden planks, whose overgrown frat boy behavior is outweighed 100 times in cosmic scales by 4 hours of exquisite bravery near the 38th parallel. She or he is the nurse who's fought against futility and went to sleep sobbing every night for 2 years in Da Nang. He's the POW who went away one person and came back another or didn't come back at all. He's the Quantico drill instructor who has never seen combat but has saved countless lives by turning slouchy, no-count rednecks and gang members into Marines and teaching them to watch each other's backs. He's the parade-riding legionnaire who pins on medals and ribbons with a prosthetic hand. He's the career quartermaster who watches the ribbons and medals passing by. He's the 3 anonymous heroes at the tomb of the unknown soldier whose presence at Arlington National Cemetery must forever preserve the memory of all the anonymous heroes whose valor dies unrecognized with them on the battlefield or the ocean sunless deep. He's the old guy bagging groceries at the supermarket now, palsied and aggravatingly slow, who helped liberate a Nazi death camp and who wishes all day long that his wife were still alive to hold him when the nightmares come. He's an ordinary yet extraordinary human being, a person who's offered some of life's most vital years in service of his country, and who has sacrificed his ambitions so that others would not have to sacrifice theirs. He's a soldier and a sword against the darkness, and nothing more than the finest, greatest testimony on the behalf of the finest, greatest nation the world has ever known. So remember, each time you see someone who served our country, just lean over and say, thank you. That's all most people need. Most cases would mean more than any medals that could have been awarded. Why? Because it comes straight from the heart. Two little words mean so much. It is the soldier, not the reporter, who's given us the freedom of press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who's given us the freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the campus organizer, who's given us the freedom to demonstrate. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protester to burn the flag. Colonel Walter Joe Sermon, Congressional Medal of Honor recipient, I'd like to present this plaque to you in fond memory of your great service to this wonderful country. And we thank you for heroes like you because you're a blessing from God.
Yes.
I also have, this is a major historical photo. This is President Mrs. Reagan and Vice President Mrs. Bush. June the 12th, 1987, Ronald Reagan spoke at the Brandenburg Gate. He said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. I'm standing in front of the Reagans with a presidential honor guard. I want to present this to you in memory of Ronald Reagan. And I have one more. This is the Air Force Presidential Honor Guard at the White House. And I'm the number 2 guy standing right there out front. And I want to present this to you as well. And I hope you will hang it with pride on your wall and always remember, we brothers love you and we got your back.
Wow, this is very humbling. It's quite an honor to for you to give these to me. They will go on my wall and with great love and affection. Thank you very much, Pete.
Absolutely, Joe.
Very special.
My pleasure.
Yep. Okay, we're going to pause for another quick break, and we'll be right back.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory, come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
You know how you feel when your hair looks great? Why not have that feeling regularly? You can if you let Kristen Toller be your secret weapon. Kristen is one half of the dynamic duo at Creative Hair by Patsy. They cut hair for both men and women, and they understand that one style does not fit all. Each person has some styles that look great, while others would be not so great. And as for the question to color or not to color, only you can answer that. But if you decide you want the lift a bit of color can add, you're in good hands with Kristen. She's great with color. So go ahead, give Kristen a call at 252-636-5741 and book an appointment. That's 636-5741. You know you want to do it.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, Pete, you wanted to bless us with one of Ronald Reagan's speeches.
Absolutely. And I've told many people, Rick, Ronald Reagan gave us three enduring, beautiful gifts: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest one of all is love. Faith in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. It was his faith that distinguished him as one of the greatest presidents in the history of this country. His final words came in 1992 when he said, "My fondest hope for each one of you, and especially you young people here, is that you will love your country not for her power or wealth, but her selflessness and her idealism. May each of you have the heart to conceive, the understanding to direct, and the hand to execute works that will make this place a little better for you having been here. May all of you as Americans never forget your heroic origins, never fail to seek divine guidance, never lose your God given natural optimism. And finally, my fellow Americans, may every dawn be a great new beginning for America, and every evening bring us closer to that shining city upon the hill. America's days, our best days are yet to come. Our proudest moments are yet to be. Our most glorious achievements are just ahead. May God bless America."
He was a great man, great orator. All right, well, we're winding up now because we're just about out of time, but I want to key off of something that Pete was saying prior to the break, and that's saying thank you. You know, a lot of folks this time of year look forward to Memorial Day because it's a good time to go to the beach or take a vacation somewhere. But folks, let's remember what Memorial Day is all about. It's not an insignificant holiday. It's an opportunity to say thank you and to show your appreciation. And I hope each and every one of you will take that opportunity on this Memorial Day. You know, with the liberal agenda of pushing socialism and communism in our country, and you may not be aware of it, you may not agree, but that is going on. The indoctrination in our school systems, they are not being taught the history that you and I grew up with. And I'm talking to people that's in my age group here. The agenda, like with the critical race theory we're talking about, is trying to teach an entirely different warped history of what America is. And America truly is the greatest country on this earth. And Mike and Joe and the rest of you have served overseas. Many of you have been to third world countries. And I'm sure you can vouch it. They in no way can compare with what we have here in this great country. You don't miss your freedom unless it's taken away from you. Now, folks, we just went through a pandemic, and you got to witness a little bit of loss of freedom, just a tiny little bit. It's going to get much worse if folks, if you don't get engaged and start studying the history, because this isn't the first time we've been down this road. There's been many attempts to turn this country into a communist nation. China's at the helm now, and we are in serious trouble. We're not gone yet, but if we don't start waking up and being active and taking an active role in standing up for this great land, just like these veterans here today have done, then we're going to lose it. And you're going to find out what it is like to lose your freedom. And we don't want to see that. Well, that's about all the time we have for today's show. I want to remind you to visit our website at cctaxpayers.com. There you can find out everything you need to know about us. Also, the third Tuesday of every month is our public meeting date. And this month in June, it's going to be the 15th. And June the 15th, we're having Sloan Rackmus with Education First Alliance of North Carolina, and she's going to be bringing a presentation on critical race theory. Now, we have members from the community that are coming, and we're going to, after her presentation, we're going to have an open forum to discuss, because we all need to understand the different views of each side and try to come together on this. Well, thank you for tuning in to CCTA Wake Up Call. Hope you'll come back next week and join us again. And as always, while you're on our website, click on that feedback button. Let us know how we're doing.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.